For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
All right, it's a Reaction Monday, y'all. If you're listening on the Odyssey app, we greatly appreciate you. We appreciate you anywhere you're listening, no doubt about it. But the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download that app. Take us anywhere and everywhere you go. And one really cool reason to have the Odyssey app is obviously because there is a rewind feature on that app. And you could use it right now if you like to go back to D'Amico at 2:40. Isn't that right, T? We had him in the 2:40 segment.
Correct, sir.
So D'Amico Ryan's Monday presser after the game, after watching film. We had D'Amico Ryan in full at 2:40. I'd prefer you wait till about 6 o'clock to make that jump back to 2:40. But just know it's there. A-U-D-A-C-Y, the Odyssey app, is a good way to keep in touch with all of Sports Radio 610 and all the fellas here, all the different shows here. So it is a Reaction Monday, and boy, do we have some reacting to do. This is where we feel like we can probably do a little separating here from us and some other folks. Is you got to keep it real on a Monday like today, man. You can't sugarcoat this stuff. There is some major problems in Houston. You can overlook it if you want. You can sweep it under the rug if you want. You can do the 24-hour, oh, we'll forget about it and move on because we got another game if you want, like you're a player or a coach. But at the end of the day, there's some cussing and discussing, more cussing that needs to go on today than most Mondays.
So you think this is more than just one bad game?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, this isn't a bad game that you just, boy, we just did some uncharacteristic things and we got to sweep this under the rug. No, what this weekend showed was on a couple of different fronts, and we're going to break down three layers here. The two of those layers is you're back-to-back weeks with some same problems that are absolutely glaring. You had 11 penalties this week. You had 12 penalties last week. That's 23 in 2 weeks for over 200 yards. There is a penalty problem with the Houston Texans. There is a penalty problem with D'Amico Ryan's roster right now. These guys, whether it's offensive, defense, you know, it's one of those things where if this was about like Mario Edwards roughing the quarterback, or Jimmy Ward, the physical brand he plays, and getting late hits or being too physical, or who was it? Was it Daniil Hunter hit the quarterback low, got pushed, by the way, and hit the quarterback low and got a 15-yard. You know, if it was penalties like that, and it was of the physical.
Aggressive penalty.
Yes, aggressive and of the physical nature of like, hey, man, D'Amico's got a super physical group and they're causing problems, then I could probably embrace some of the penalties, but 23 in two games for 200-plus yards is unacceptable. And when you look at the offensive side of the football, the penalties that we're seeing for the most part are all pre-snap penalties. You can't get lined up and your ass can't get off the ball on time and you know the snap count. That is a major problem. It's unacceptable and it's got to be fixed. The penalties Sunday versus the Minnesota Vikings single-handedly put this football team in a place offensively where they could not keep up with the Minnesota Vikings. They could not overcome a mistake that your quarterback made throwing a tipped interception early on that he typically doesn't do. They could not overcome that. Getting down 14-0 on the road in a hostile environment, you could not overcome those things simply because of penalties. The game got out of hand late. There's no doubt about it. Once you start having to go for it on fourth down in their territory and all that kind of stuff.
Fourth and 18.
The game got out of hand at that point in time. But what led to this game getting out of reach and what led to this game getting to a point where the Texans just could not keep up and could not score points and could not move the football consistently was penalties. And we can point specifically to the highest paid player on this team the most decorated player on this team. Maybe Stephon Diggs is a little more decorated than Laremy Tunsil. But a guy that is self-proclaimed leader, mentor-type material.
Captain.
Captain, good point. Laremy Tunsil. Laremy Tunsil single-handedly killed drives throughout the game, but most for the most part in the first half. In fact, you want to know how bad it is? Andre Ware's frustrated as hell. Here's Andre Ware early in the ballgame. This wasn't, hell, I don't even know what timestamp was, but it was early in the ballgame. Here's Andre Ware.
Looks like a false start of the Texans. Let's find out who.
Before the snap, false start. Offense, number 78. It's a 5-yard penalty. Still first down.
Well, he got it out of the way early. Laremy Tunsil.
It's every week, though. I mean, you're a Pro Bowl player. There's no excuse for that. None.
I hear you, Dre. I'm right there. I'm right there. Mark tried to soft shoe that one. Mark tried to ease into that one, but Dre said, "No, I can't let that one go."
Got it out of the way. Hey, man.
Can't let that one go.
Dre, if you're listening. Hey, that touched you for about 8 minutes. I don't know what you fired.
Well, it was longer than 8 minutes because it happened multiple times.
I don't know what you fired, but you fired a pin or something. Boy, he ran him hot.
I want to point this out. I want to point this out because I got this. I was listening to Payne and Pendergast this morning, did the post game last night with Pendergast, and I'm telling you, he's got a photographic memory. It's on point. Laremy Tunsil single-handedly killed three of the first six drives, I believe it was. Maybe it was even three of the first five drives. Three of the first five drives. Laremy Tunsil single-handedly killed three of the first five drives. And in fashion, two of his penalties actually literally nullified first down throws. Third and seven, third drive of the game, third and seven. Tunsil, illegal formation. It was the Xavier Hutchinson catch. I think it was for like 16 yards on third and seven. That was a first down. Boom, goes back to third and 12. Texans fell on third down. They punt. Third and 14. Tunsil, false start, turns into third and 19. That's the next drive, right? The fifth drive of the game, third and 10. Tunsil, illegal formation, turns into third and 15. Guess what happened on third and 10?
Hello.
It was where C.J. Stroud audible to Tank Dell and throws a strike on third and 10 for a conversion. I believe it was 12 or 14-yard completion. Great catch, great throw, great look, great audible, all that stuff. It was nullified because Laremy Tunsil had an illegal formation.
Put him up.
The penalties overall, I don't want Laremy to take all of this blow because at the end of the day, that could have got Harry with Tunsil right there using that verbiage, couldn't it? At the end of the day, this is a locker room problem. This is a Texan problem right now through two games. You just got lucky and beat one team that happened to be the Bears who can't get out of their own damn way. This is a Texans problem. But the fact that the tip of the spear of the issue is Laremy Tunsil. 10 penalties in three ball games, all of which I think every last one of them are pre-snap penalties, either an alignment or a false start. And you cannot have your highest paid, most decorated, the highest expectations, a guy that's supposed to be a leader on this team. You cannot have that guy playing this poorly as it pertains to eliminating penalties from his game. This is not the Laremy. I've always thought the Laremy Tunsil penalty thing was blown out of proportion. I'll be completely transparent. Like the whole false start thing. Hey, I get it. He's one of the best pass blocking tight ends. Tackles in the game, if not the best. Like he is really, really good and he's really, really talented. Yes, but there's some tricks to the trade. He's getting off the ball early. He's doing some different things that are helping him perform at a high level. He just gets caught from time to time with these damn false starts. This is a problem because, like I said, captain, highest paid guy, most decorated, most talented. Now all of a sudden you got to start talking about, well, guy sat out a season because his thumb hurt. Now you got to start talking about, well, guy just didn't participate in training camp because it wasn't time to go yet.
Recovering from the knee.
Yeah. I mean, it's so all those things start getting dredged back up. And at the end of the day, this problem of these penalties absolutely has to be fixed. D'Amico Ryan spoke to the media today, and a little soft shoot about Tunsil, but here's D'Amico talking about the alignment issues for Laremy Tunsil.
You have to practice for Laremy out of your practice in lining up. Or is he just supposed to know where he lines up?
Yeah, we know where the line. LT, he knows where to align, and we just have to do a better job of getting it done.
one of those things you just can't overcome, man. You can't overcome penalties. You're beating yourself. Every coach in America at every level talks about you can't beat yourself with turnovers and penalties. And the Texans have done a piss poor job, really. Let's be honest. In the penalty category all year, if we're talking about Laramie, but definitely the last 2 weeks. And if it wouldn't have been the Bears last week, it probably would have cost you a game last week as well. So they got to get that right, Ron. I know you want to get to this one because this is the big one.
I do want to, on what D'Amico just said there. Like, if he knows where to line up every time, if that's not a problem, what the hell is happening?
Yeah, there's no logic in that.
Yeah, well,
what is happening if he goes out there each and every time and knows where to... Now, what I'm forced to believe is that he is stubborn and saying, I'm going to line up right here.
I'm going to keep playing my game because you don't call it every down.
They got Titus once, right? And I think Titus
said he moved up level with the guard so he wouldn't get called again.
Yeah. Like, to me now, it's just like, it's almost like, I'm going to keep doing it. You have it out for me. I'm going to keep doing it.
I would imagine there's something when a guy doesn't adjust, one guy adjusted and scoots way up on the line, the other guy's getting called in the second half for similar stuff. It's clear like there's a level of stuff. Because, look, all you got to do is when you get lined up is you can look to the referee and the ref will tell you you're
just
good.
Just like receivers.
You're good. You're good. You're good. Okay, when you look down there and you're not good, okay, move your ass up. It, to me, like, I don't know how CJ at no point in time in the game was like, hey, man, like, go over there and pat him on the ass. Hey, move up, man. Get on the line of scrimmage. Like, it's unacceptable. It's unprofessional. It falls right in line with this nonchalant, lackadaisical approach to training camp, as well as playing the position, correcting the issues, and making sure you're not hurting a football team. It's on brand. It's all that stuff. D'Amico Ryans has got to get this under control, because it's not just a this week game problem. It's been all year for Laramie Tunsil, and it's 2 weeks in the making for the Texans. At the end of the day, they got to get a grasp on this thing. The second thing, and probably the more disappointing layer here that I saw, Ron, was the Texans got outcoached in a big way. The Texans, when I'm talking about the Bobby Slowick got outcoached by Brian Flores, and D'Amico Ryans got outcoached by Kevin O'Connell. And it wasn't to the tune of 34-7. That is the one thing that if you look at the score, I think it's very indicative of who played disciplined football and who didn't beat themselves with the penalties.
We don't like that.
And which polos on the sideline were a huge advantage and which ones weren't. You look at the score, it's very indicative of that. Right? And there's a couple of things here.
It wasn't close.
And it's very easy, I think, for even the fans to... Like, the plan for Justin Jefferson from jump was absolutely unacceptable and terrible. I mean, free release on Eric Murray not once but twice. Put him in the backfield, free release him, and you got Azeez Alshire covering him in the red zone. Third and goal. Whether he goes off or not, whether he gets his or not, like to think that soft coverage, not shadowing him with your best corner, not pressing him at the line of scrimmage and forcing him to at least throw the timing off. I mean, the speed cut out route for the first down on third and 10 for 11 yards or third and 9, whatever it was, on the first Vikings drive, you're 10 yards off of him down there and just letting him run the out route. Like, there's nobody, like, from a quarterback perspective, I'm 5-step, cleat in the turf, balls up, I can throw it blindfolded. You're not disrupting him in any way, shape, or form. Like, that part of the plan, I think, for a staff that prides themselves on putting the team and the players in the best position to win, I think is this week was not a good example of that. On the defensive side of the football, the Justin Jefferson thing was wild. And then offensively from jump, and there's more to this, but offensively from jump, having Cade Stover in any way, shape, or form blocking Jonathan Greenard in pass protection, you're asking to get your ass whooped. That's putting Cade Stover in a spot where he just can't win. It happened with him multiple times, and it happened with Dalton Schultz a couple of times. That is scary stuff, Ron. That I didn't think I would see that with D'Amico and Bobby.
I didn't think Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo would do them like this. Like, this was...
I agree.
It was just...
Yep.
I mean, it was clear early. And I think that's the part, is those two scenarios that you're talking about in particular, it wasn't a one-time thing. It took in D'Amico's case and Matt Burke's case, it took them a half to adjust because we continued to see Justin Jefferson in matchups that didn't make sense. Like, who is around him? Where is a corner? It's not even one of the corners on him. Who is around him? They at least adjusted. And then the other case, they did not adjust. They continued to do this.
Yeah, look, the adjustments at halftime for D'Amico appeared to happen. The adjustments at halftime for Bobby Slowick didn't seem to happen. I disagree with D'Amico Rines when he says, oh, well, you got all these different formations and these different protections, and you call them, and sometimes absolutely, it's very simple. It is very simple in the game of football, in the pass-protecting game, to keep your tight end or running back from being one-on-one with an edge rusher, with a defensive end. It's simple. It is man protection. That's fine. It's big on big, and they got the Mike linebacker, the tight end in the backfield, the tailback in the backfield. Have Sam to strong safety, Will to weak safety. It's very simple to do that, right? And it's very simple to identify. If you go to the line of scrimmage and it happens, hey, stay your ass out of that formation. Like, move, especially they're bringing a rush, so that receiver's not getting out in the pass route anyway. It's not like you're eliminating a pass catcher from the route. No, you're not. He's staying in and blocking. So it just doesn't doesn't make sense. It's not a difficult fix. I'm shocked that Bobby Slowick allowed it to happen. And here's the crazy part. Can I make it a little bit worse before we get out of here?
Why not?
This took me by surprise last night, because I see stuff like this happen, especially like when it happens in the second half whether it's Dalton Schultz or 87 or Cade Stover. Like, I think, okay, well, they must have showed them some front that they weren't. They showed them a blitz or a front that they weren't expecting. Must have caught them off guard, right? There's no way this was the plan from jump, and it was going to happen this often. Here's C.J. Stroud in the post game yesterday talking about what the Vikings did defensively.
I mean, they kind of did exactly what we thought. Played a lot of too high, a lot of taking away our passing game, and then they would either blitz the edge and try to stop the run on a certain down. So, I mean, they did a lot of the things that we thought we were doing. We just, you know, weren't moving quick enough. We weren't executing. We weren't playing hard enough. And, you know, it starts with me. So, just got to be better. I mean, it's, you know, something that I feel like it can be fixed. So it's nothing to hang our heads down about, but, you know, definitely can and will be better.
Ryan, when I heard him say, oh, yeah, no, they pretty, and just kind of flipping, oh, hell, they did exactly what we thought they were going to do. I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically how I took that was, they didn't surprise us at all. So you mean to tell me that Bobby Slowick went into that game after being on the field over here with Jonathan Grenard for a year and watching dude rattle off however many, 12, 13 sacks, however many he had. You watch that kid play. You know everything about him. And you thought going into this game the right thing to do was, I got the answer. Dalton Schultz and Cade Stover.
I don't think they did it. No way they did it several times, fellas. I don't think they even had any success any of the times they did it. Like, I don't – like, I
Bobby
think
should
Cade,
be
I think
embarrassed
Cade,
with that. Like, Bobby should
I think
be.
Cade went 0-for in the attack. Because I remember one where CJ showed off his arm streak where he just bull rushed and just drove Cade right into CJ. And CJ had to heave it out of bounds over the head of the running back. Like I'm just like, I think they lost every single time they tried that.
Yeah.
Every single time.
They should lose. I mean, that's how bad of a plan that was. I
thought when he beat Shaq Mason, the guard, that they thought, well, maybe all right.
Well, no, I'm shocked that Bobby did that. I'm shocked that D'Amico Rines let him do it. Like, if I'm D'Amico Rines and I see that in the first, I go down there and say, Bobby, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
Bobby, what? Are you kidding me?
Change of that plan.
First drive, bro?
Yeah.
First three plays?
If Laramie's going to keep jumping off, you got to at least let him block.
Well, this was before. I think this was before Laramie got sick.
I'm just saying, but it continued. All right. Coming up, Joe Espada has an update on Yordan Alvarez. We told you he's not in the lineup today. He has an update. We'll let you hear that next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Text line messed up, man. Texted and said, do y'all think Sam Darnold offered up any advice after the game to CJ?
Yeah, we think he told him to hang in there. Keep being himself, man.
Start taking them hits.
You're enough, man. You don't need to be something else. You're enough. You're good enough, man.
They made hits.
Well, this isn't the same, though, guys. Come
on. Them hits, baby.
Bryce Young. I mean, not Bryce Young.
Caleb Williams.
Caleb Williams is a rookie.
A little more experience.
Did you know what I mean, a-hole?
Let's get a little bit more experience. But yeah, you didn't have to go there.
I mean, if we're being serious, I mean, if you really want to talk about like battling adversity and like and like hanging in there and taking.
You didn't see them ghosts yesterday.
Like you want to talk about it. You want to talk about a guy that's really got some experience to pull from to probably needs to share with young quarterbacks that are going through it? Yeah. Sam Darnold, man. Hey, bub. I mean, Sam ought to be telling Caleb Williams, like, hey, man, whatever you do, don't talk about seeing ghosts. I know you will. You probably did in Houston last week.
Halloween's right around the corner.
When you were exhausted and so tired, you leaned your head back, you probably saw some ghosts.
Yeah,
but don't talk about it because it'll hang around forever.
He didn't see Casper yesterday. No, he saw Eric Murray in the flesh standing 10 yards away from Justin Jefferson. That's
yeah.
What he saw.
Yeah, buddy.
All right. Joe Espada spoke to the media today before their big three-game series against the Mariners. And the big conversation is Yordan Alvarez. As he left the game with knee issues, they said they would do imaging. Here is the latest from the captain, Joe Espada, on Yordan Alvarez.
So, you know what? He's actually right now getting more tests done. He's got an MRI start at 3 o'clock. So we should be getting some more results here in the next hour. You know, yesterday we, you know, got some x-rays and there was some inflammation in the area. So we want to make sure that we go in there and we check all the boxes. So he's getting some extra testing done right now. I spoke with him this morning and, you know, he woke up pretty sore. I was expecting him to, you know, praying that he felt better, but that wasn't the case. So, you know, we'll see once we get these results, once he walks in here.
That's not great.
I'm at a 9.
Of concern?
Damn it.
Oh, hell.
Damn it.
I'm at a 9.
You too. Y'all got. Are y'all serious?
I'm dead serious.
Where are you at? I'm at a 9.
I'm at a 7.8.
I'm at a 2. I mean, they've played 195 games in the last 200 days. Of course there's going to be some level of inflammation in his knees.
Can I tell you where I take...
I worked out four times this week, or in the last 5 days. Imagine my knees may be a tad bit inflamed as well.
So they went, and he got x-rays. They didn't just come right. Oh, there was inflammation there. So there's something there they saw, and now he's getting imaging, and they'll find out later today. And we understand the imaging, when they get imaging, and what they generally find out sometimes, it ain't usually good news, especially when there's already inflammation there. He said, I was hoping he'd wake up feeling better today, but he didn't at all.
When has anything ever happened to Yordan where he woke up the next day feeling better?
Not like this. The way they're talking and what imaging has come up with this year, I'm at a high level of concern for somebody who is highly injury prone in two areas where he has had surgery on both.
Yeah, my question is more about why do you wait 24 hours? When did he get hurt?
When was this? Was it yesterday?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah,
I believe so.
Slid into second base.
Why don't we wait? Why can't we get some MRIs done pretty quick?
Just want to do the imaging first.
Oh, okay.
The x-rays first. And then, like, just, there were, like, generally, they like to say stuff to try to make things feel better, to try to soft shoe it.
Oh,
there
yeah.
was nothing that he could soft shoe there.
Well, this is not good.
I know we have fun with this whole thing and how Clint isn't, you know, normally as concerned as maybe me and Ron are, but straight up, this is bad.
I'm just saying, like,
October is here, folks. Like, if Yordan Alvarez, if the big man with the big stick is dealing with any kind of issue, like, that's going to be a problem.
What do you need?
What?
You call me?
Oh, big stick.
Big man, big stick.
Just know Ben Gamel had a scratch, and then next thing you know, it's a broken leg.
He slid into second, guys. Relax. He slid into second with no contact.
Next line, Gus and Katie. I'm at a full-blown DEFCON 1, fellas.
Yeah, I might not be 7.8. I think I'm more of an 8.8.
It's not what we're doing.
Yeah, it is.
It is
yeah,
the Houston is, Astros he and their
playoff baseball, man.
It's the Houston Astros.
He slid into second. Relax.
Okay, I don't even know. I didn't even know anything happened to Ben.
Ben went off the wall.
Just talked about imaging.
Didn't Ben go off the wall?
And Kyle Tucker was out for 6 months. There is that. They try to.
Good point.
They try to hide it. They usually try to say, "Oh no, he's cool. Not there." I hope he's good. Next line. There goes Ryan again. I know it. Okay. I'm just saying the track record.
I mean, do we not know this guy's history? Like, he has missed time, like significant time with knee problems.
It's the combination of his history and what the Astros have done.
Well, yeah, exactly. But what do you mean, there goes Ron again? The guy, if you look it up, has documented history with problems. Like a lot of big dudes.
A man said, I expected him to wake up today feeling better.
If you want butterflies and cotton candy, that's fine, and I hope Jordan's good. But what do you mean, there goes Ron again? Shut the hell up.
I'd shut him down to the playoffs right now. That'd be my decision.
Shut him down?
That'd be my call.
Look, I'm not opposed to asking him to quit trying to stretch doubles. I mean, we don't need that. But this is a diva move if I've ever seen one.
They saw inflammation, Clint.
Tucker Dunn got his every joint and every one of them guys' body down there is inflamed right now if you did an x-ray. Every last one of them. And they're on every supplement to keep inflammation down.
Every one of them didn't slide in the second base and could barely walk off the field.
Oh, he could walk.
I'm just saying, everybody's not.
Just
not.
Like that cart ride he took after he ran into Pena, he's fine.
Just give him a couple days off, man.
Look, he's sitting there going, man, Tucker Dunn had extended time off. Bregman gets extended time off. Now all of a sudden, my boy Altuve is taking some time away. I mean, yeah.
What is going on?
That's it. He just wants a little break. He wants a little break before the playoffs start.
I hope you are dead right because Clint, I think he is the best hitter in the sport. And not just that, he is clutch as hell, and I want to see him.
I do too.
I want to watch Jordan
Alvarez. I agree with you, and I do too.
I want to watch him, but I think you're wishing and hoping. There is no way with his track record and the Astros' track record that you are. He's fine.
I'm not worried. But he slid into second. He slid into second, boys. It was a basic slide.
What was it that happened? I can't remember. It wasn't nothing out of the batter's box that led him to have surgery on those knees. Well, there was something really like just
he dealt with whatever Seth Payne used to
just
deal with.
But I mean, it was in the COVID season, and it was like a swing.
Yeah,
and it took him to surgery on both knees.
Well, he had a problem, like a growth problem in there. But like they weren't aware of whatever the problem was. Coming had to go up. In and fix both of them.
Coming up. The growth from.
Yeah, it was a growth problem.
Coming up, one of the things, and as we close this out, D'Amico Ryan's coming up in a bit. One of the things that was really, really eye-opening in terms of just the way the two different teams handled things yesterday, we got to get to that. And is it official? Is it official? Does Tyler need to stop going to road games because the Milner curse is real? We'll discuss.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Got that coming up.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back on a Reaction Monday, and a tough one for the Houston Texans as they lose about 34-7 in Minneapolis. Coming up behind us, remember, the coaches show. D'Amico Ryans will be up, coming up in about 18 minutes. So stay tuned. We're out early as D'Amico Ryans. You'll get to hear from him with the coaches show, and they'll go until 7 o'clock, and then Monday Night Football coverage tonight. I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure which game it is. They have two games tonight on Monday Night Football, so you could get the Bengals and the Washington Commanders, and I believe Jacksonville. I would imagine Jacksonville, the Jacksonville Bills game. Those are the next two opponents for the Texans. I would imagine that would be the game that they would move in on, but I think they will start a little earlier, so you'll get in the middle of that sucker. But Monday Night Football coming up behind the coaches show, so hang in for that. Should be a good night right here on Sports Radio 610. Before we get to the Tyler thing, is this a real curse? If this is real, because there's a lot to be laid out. I still, when I look at this game, there's a lot of things to look at. And we talked about the coaching and everything, but the matter of the two things that we have coming in here, we know, and I heard you say this, when you get up and you're the Texan, you think the number one person we're gonna stop, the number one person that the Vikings are gonna try to get the ball to that we don't want to get going is Justin Jefferson. And with that, on the other side, the Texans have Nico Collins, who coming into the season was clearly by 52 yards.
Coming into the game,
by 52 yards, led the league in reception and receiving yards, and was looking like the best receiver in football through the first 2 weeks. Huge for this team, big time catches. Justin Jefferson touched the ball on the third play of the game for the Vikings, and it was a third down, and they got a first down with him. They got the ball to him 13-something mark. Is when he first touched the ball.
He caught a touchdown that drive too, didn't he?
He caught a touchdown.
Couple plays later?
Yep. The first time that the Houston Texans got the ball to Nico Collins was just over 5 minutes left in the second quarter. And we look at those two guys. There's an argument, especially with Joe Mixon out and everything, that Nico Collins is the guy they want to get the ball to.
You would think.
And has been the guy they wanted to get the ball to the first 2 weeks. And they can get it to the guy that definitely, you know, and the Texans want to prevent you to. And not just get the ball to him, Clint, but he's getting the ball with space. Getting the ball in matchups.
Kevin O'Connell was on.
That just blew me away.
Kevin O'Connell was on record saying that he's never seen a player that defenses allocate more resources to stopping than Justin Jefferson. You're talking about the guy that has demanded more attention than arguably anybody in the league in Justin Jefferson, and they found a way to get him the ball.
And they found a way to get him the ball early, often, and in big moments. Yeah. And it took the Texans almost the half to get the ball to Nico Collins. And you've said it. We could throw screens to Nico, which they eventually did. I believe that's the first catch he got in the second half that he took for 9 or 10 yards. It was just wild. Yeah. Like, at no point, they had a 12-play drive. They had a 12-play drive. Hell, they ran it for 38 yards, so it wasn't that. They had a 12-play drive, and they couldn't get in the ball. That dynamic of the two teams of, hey, the Vikings, as you just said, they got it to a player that is more difficult to get the ball to than anybody else in the league, and the Texans couldn't get it to their guy and wasn't even trying.
Yeah, Ron, I think we're talking about Bobby Sloak again, obviously. This is about the poor plan offensively, and I'm shocked that it – because it doesn't just stop. In the last segment, I talked about Stover and Schultz in pass protection. That usage throughout the game, not just the first half, but that is silly. To not adjust is silly. To your point, Nico Collins in a game this big you would think would be a guy that in the first script of plays, you would get him touch. And when I say get him touches, I'm not talking about just randomly call plays for him. I'm talking about get him a quick, get him a slant, get him a screen, find a way to get him involved in the game immediately. And you're telling me he didn't have his first catch until 5 minutes into the second quarter?
No, 5 minutes left
in the second quarter.
Yes.
Okay. Now there was something that was he had a catch earlier that got nullified because of a penalty.
That was his first target. Right. That was in the second quarter, but that was his first official target and catch.
Yeah. Look, I agree wholeheartedly with you. It's just another one of those like head scratchers. Xavier Hutchinson
beat him to the punch.
Catching screens in a game is when you've got Nico, Tank, and Diggs. I love Xavier, man. Big tip of the cap. He shouldn't be in a game catching screens. There's a package out there that I didn't necessarily notice it this week. I'm sure it happened where it's Hutchinson and Stover and Schultz and British Brooks. It's kind of a heavy package, if you will. Like that ain't got no, when you got those three wide receivers, when you're in a game like this where points are at a premium and you're getting your, like they're slowly but surely running away from you, like there's no room in a game plan for that kind of
stuff.
And
you're not running.
I think there's several things with Slowick's game plan this week that whether it's the plan itself or it's the in-game adjustments that are literal head scratchers for me, because this is a guy that typically, from a play design to a game plan, like how you package things up, I mean, he typically puts dudes in positions to play to their strengths and have success. Like this one's a tough one for me. It's hard for me to understand how we got here.
They have to be covering Nico like a gunner, like he's a, like
yeah.
For you to go a quarter and a half. Well, without Ron, him getting a touch.
Ron, you and I have talked about this a million times, and I know it's not this simple all the time. I get that. But in today's game, I mean, there's so much overthinking of how to attack defenses. And I understand it's difficult, but if I ever were a coach, my biggest fear, like week in, week out, with a guy like Nico, would be, we're going to go through this game. He's going to get his first catch midway through this, or with 5 minutes left in the second quarter. And I'm going to look back and I'm going to watch 20, 25 minutes worth of football. And it's going to be a soft corner. And we could have threw anything under the sun, the easiest throws in a game ever. And we didn't do it. Like, that would be my biggest fear. You had all these motions and formations and packages and tight end packages. And you never just take the easy, simple. That's one reason why it's Pat does it some of the time, depending on what mood he's in. But Aaron Rodgers seems to do it all the time. It's like the quick stuff. He is going to force the quick game, the screen game, the get it out of his hand as quick as he possibly can. And it's just, you're never going to go back and go, boy, we just tried to force this thing down the field, man. We had daylight underneath all day long. That would be the biggest fear of mine ever coaching. And I feel like your point of Nico not getting his catch until midway or late in the second quarter, we're going to look at this thing and go, wow, you could have done. He should have got three or four touches in the first quarter.
And I'm sure when you watch the All-22, you'll see if that was available for them. All right, as we said, D'Amico, the coach's show coming up here in less than 10 minutes. Stay tuned for that Monday Night Football after that. And, people are texting in, Tyler. Did Tyler come back and go to the Astro game yesterday? Is that how Alvarez?
Oh, come on. Come on.
Nah, he was in Minnesota because he didn't get back till today.
He was in Minnesota. He was in there. He was in there, King. No, man, Tyler, I think it's official. It's real. And now you're much like the Chicago Cubs. You're like the Boston Red Sox. You got to face this thing head on. I mean, I don't know how you break it. I don't know. Maybe bleed an ankle like Curt Schilling and get down 0-3. That's how you do it. I don't know. I'm not sure.
What are you going to do?
I mean, my mom always taught me to, you fall down, you get back up on that horse, you keep trying. So When that schedule comes out next season, I'll be picking an away game.
I'm gonna lie to you, man. I'm a little nervous. If you keep announcing it to the world via this Sports Radio 610 airwaves and your social, I'm worried about your safety.
I'm just saying, you get down there, man. I bet
Clint's always trying to get me jumped, man.
No, I'm trying to keep you safe, man. I'm trying to get you to make better decisions.
When you get down, I don't know what game you go to next year. You get down there, and maybe like you'll have people who will really want to be there to break the curse with you. And then they'll be pissed as soon as it's over.
I got a good feeling about 2025.
I didn't see one text message that said let me go next time with you, Tyler. I'll get you off this curse. Every one of them said stay your ass at home.
It was a fun trip. Besides that ass whooping, I'll tell you what.
That was the whole reason for the trip. All right, Clint, great job today. Shout out to D'Amico Ryan, who was on the show sort of today. Also, Tyler, tough weekend, but great. Great day dealing with the curse.
Damn time.
Otherwise, I am Ron Hughley. As always, Houston, we love you, baby. Mixed up, D'Amico Ryan.
Don't take that, bro. That was my fault. That was on me.
Tyler, listen. You
the bad weekend is continuing. That was on me.
Tyler, chill, man. You have enough bullets. Let me take that one. All right?
I appreciate you. I'm sorry.
The people are pretty in a tough place, and they need somebody to blame. And I'm telling you, it's coming your way. So just let me take that bullet.
All right. I'm sorry. My apologies.
Since it's already out, Tyler did screw up the time. and forced me to look bad here. But since...
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.